Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back after 2 weeks of hiatus. We are back, Sam, with another FPL family. Welcome to this Game Week 31 review so far, guys. And when I say that Sam has literally just walked through the door, coming back from the Spurs Stadium, you have literally just walked through the door. Have you noticed this? Got your tea ready? I've set everything up. You've literally come through the door. Max has gone to bed. You've sat yourself down and we've not even had a conversation yet, so I'd like to know how the game was.
Got in, went, clean your teeth. He was like, why am I getting a story? I was like, no, I've got to go to work. Get into bed.
He presumably enjoyed it today.
He's had the best time ever.
Oh, loved it. What a game.
What a game.
Say it quietly. Spurs are looking very good
right,
at
listen,
the minute.
You
very
please
good.
Stop these things. Because whenever you speak, you have a habit of cursing us.
You were the one saying Liverpool quadruple the other. I'm not having that.
You're still in the hunt for that. Well, look, I mean, next weekend, we could be sitting here, you hungover from your stag do, part two.
Yeah, yeah.
With Liverpool top of the league if you beat City.
Big game. But we're not here to talk about that, Sam.
But
yes.
We've had a fantastic day, Max.
Talk
and
about
I.
that a bit later. But yes, come on, let's talk about Spurs because they were good, right? I need this kind of raw emotional reaction. Go on, because you've literally just sat down.
It was excellent. We were really good today. It was a really good team performance. It's been a bit of a hectic one because Max and I went literally straight off the back of his football match to Spurs. Got there at 4. Panic bought him a hot dog because that's what he wanted. I had to walk halfway around the stadium the wrong way to buy a hot dog. Still managed to get a curry pie in though, guys, so don't worry.
He went with one of his little mates from football,
didn't he?
They were singing Spurs songs in the car.
They were singing on the way home. Yeah. They're adorable. But no, it was really good. It was a really, really good team performance. I thought, you know, Son was excellent today, but Harry Kane for me was just on another level of excellence today.
The guy is just, I mean, I don't know which idiot said that he's finished a couple of seasons ago. But
no, some idiot.
Some idiot said that. But honestly, the guy is like, he's up there. I've always had Trent and De Bruyne are up there as the best passers in the league, right?
No,
but
he's up
Kane
there now.
Is up there right now. I mean, the way that he adapted his game in the second half, and you know, as FPL, we don't often like it when he comes a bit deeper, etc. But he does that to such good effect. And I actually thought, sorry, I'll let you speak a minute. Actually,
you asked my opinion.
But today's two games, it's interesting to watch Antonio as well because Antonio and Kane today, they both showed what the new school number nine is all about in the Premier League, in my opinion. It's, you know, if you're looking at fancy assets, not just for this season, but for next season in particular, I think it's all going to be about the attackers on the sides and the fullbacks. This number nine role, they're all doing it now, aren't they? They're all dropping deep and playing playmaker.
Yeah, I mean, there were some fantastic performances out there today, but he really stood out for me. I mean, the only thing he didn't do today was put the ball in the back of the net himself, but he created...
Yeah, deserved a goal, though, he did.
He really did. He created chance after chance after chance for so many of his teammates. He assisted the assist a couple of times. He obviously did get an assist, but he was different class today, but I thought there were a number of really great performances out there. I think Bentancur has made such a difference in that unit in the middle. He and Højbjerg are really strengthened the mid. And what it basically means is that we've got Højbjerg and Bentancur in front of Dyer and Romero, who I think is really, really good. I really enjoy
watching
him.
You've got a proper player there
in
Romero.
Good. There's a video I noticed that my phone died when I was at the stadium.
Oh, did it? Do you want to plug it in?
I've just had it charging upstairs for 5 minutes while I put Max to bed. But because it died as I was about 91st minute or something, because I was recording Max's match first, wasn't I? Battery ran out.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, but I was watching the video a minute ago on Spurs socials and there's one of Romero coming back down the tunnel and he's like, well, excited. So pumped, he punches the camera and it's like, yes, this is
good. This is the passion and the drive.
And I think for me, when you've got those four that are really defensively solid, it's having such a good impact on those outlying players, the ones on the wing.
Yeah.
So today, I mean, even Royale looks good today. I'm not saying invest in him, please don't. I wouldn't say he had a great game,
no, but he was fine.
In comparison to what you've seen Royale do over the last season,
it was a guy on the other side, though. Doherty was great today.
Yeah, because I sold him. Of course I sold him.
You sent him on your wildcard?
Yeah, of course sold him on my wildcard. Yeah, I mean, of course I did. I sold Son as well. Of course I did. Yeah, of course. Of course, you know, it's just...
Oh my God.
That's why they've commented today.
FPL's been so bad this week for both of us.
I don't even care.
We'll talk about
it. I don't even care because we played so well today.
I bench
today.
Dropped it as well. We know that.
Well, good. At least you've not.
He's first sub. So if Saka or Lacazette could just, I don't know, if they just got ill overnight or something, that'd be fine.
There's no chance that Saka and Laka miss.
They're both going to play on that.
14 points, hasn't he got, Doherty?
He's got 14 points. And I'll tell you what, it was a straight choice.
He'd have come on for me, I'd have kept him as well.
Well, it was a straight choice when I heard, because there was a bit of team leak news, wasn't there, about Trent. And I was like, right, okay, well, I'll bench Trent then. And I had like a 5-minute window to make a choice.
Oh, you asked me about Doherty.
And I said, do I play Doherty or Roberts? And I was like, I don't think you... I put it on myself. I said, well, he's got the double
game. You've got to play the doubler.
I've got to go with Roberts.
And I didn't see us keeping a clean sheet. I think that's what I said to you.
Yeah,
and I was right. We didn't keep a clean sheet.
Plus, Newcastle have been fantastic recently.
Yeah.
So who saw a 5... No one saw a 5-1 come in. But some words on Doherty from an FPL perspective. You're going to get him back in now?
Well, maybe. I mean, I got Tarkowski instead of him because I was playing the double-double-double-double-doubles everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's...
A Burnley defender is still okay
and
to
I
have,
think
right?
it's but... fine. You know, I yeah. wasn't expecting Tarkowski to get anything more than... one yeah. against Man City. I've got him for Everton, who, well, less said about
Ooh,
them the better.
More about the Toffees later on. Oh,
but yeah,
blimey.
So
terrible.
But yeah, I thought Doherty was fantastic. I thought Kulusevski, I thought, had a fantastic game today.
He's made such a difference to the balance of your front three, Kulusevski. Great.
Yeah, so really so good. Much better. And what he does, he's so strong and he's so powerful. And so he's doing a job that's very different to what Kane and Son does.
Yeah.
So the three of them complement each other beautifully up top. And I thought Lucas Moura and Bergwijn came on and tried to make a point as well. Both of them performed well in their like 20 minutes that they
but
got.
But isn't that a good sign? And
perfect.
Guys, we'll move on from the Spurs chat. I mean, I'm bored of it already. But the fact that
you're
going
to get a lot more of it when we finish this, by the way.
Yeah, when you come top four, we're going to get a lot more of Spurs. When Bergwijn and Moura come on, under managers in the past, Jose and others, these players come on and they're a bit like, oh, you know, doesn't matter what I do, I ain't getting in this team. I don't want to maybe be in this team. Whereas Moore and Bergwijn coming on now going, right, I want to be in a sort of very... and I don't want to compare Conte to Klopp or anybody else, but that's what I like about Liverpool and the
I mean,
way that we...
There's no comparison between Conte and Klopp.
Well, there's not, you're right. But the thing with Klopp is that even even the fairly average squad players like Origi and Minamino come on and want to do a job and do well. And that's what I saw in Moore and Bergwijn today. You're seeing it from Conte.
Bergwijn has been fantastic on international duty for Holland. He went and played for the Netherlands over international break and was absolutely phenomenal in both of those games for them. So... And he made some really interesting comments when speaking to the Dutch press about how he's not getting a lot of time at home at his club. So when he does, he's really got to get himself going because he needs to prove a point in terms of international level and get his back in the team. So all very positive on a Spurs front today. And you know what? If you have a Newcastle player, and I am definitely going to invest in Newcastle ahead of their double in game week 33. I actually didn't think they were bad today. I thought there were some good performances out there from the Newcastle players. So, like Fabian Schär, who very nearly came in for me instead of Tarkowski.
No, come
I know
on.
He did. I very nearly did it. And that was one of the decisions I was making late, Doherty, Schär or Tarkowski. And I thought, no, I'll go with Tarkowski and play the doubles for now. And I'll bring Schär in later.
Well, FPL Gazza is in the chat and he says, please don't talk about us today. Well,
it wasn't that bad.
I think it's a blip, right? And Eddie Howe came out and said it after the game. He thinks that actually you can turn that into a positive. You can learn from some of the things from today's game.
Yes.
I think that even when they went 2-3-1 down, they were still fairly open. They were still taking a lot of risks.
They were.
That played into Spurs' hands. It could have easily gone the other way.
If they weren't playing against us...
I wouldn't worry.
I mean, I honestly do think that if Newcastle weren't playing against a team that could counter-attack in the way that Spurs do, they would not have lost 5-1 today. They were getting opportunities. We just dealt with the opportunities they had and countered them. If you were playing most other teams... Newcastle would have got more out of that game and would have been returns for the likes of St Max today. He was really good.
Fabian Schär, I think he's quite cheap in FPL, isn't he?
He's perfect. He's a perfect.
Maybe even less.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's a perfect enabler.
On free kicks?
So he's definitely one that, you know, we should be looking to target. I mean, I went to Bravka. Oh, it's part of my second wildcard goalkeeper, so that I've got a Newcastle cover in there for that defensively. But yeah, I mean, I think if you've got a Newcastle player, don't panic. It was a blip.
Good game.
They could have and should have returned today.
Okay, all right. Well, let's get into the chat, guys, and say hello to a few people. Hopefully the live stream is translating well for you guys.
We've got a bit of a new look, Sam.
What have you been doing?
I only left the house for a few hours.
I spent a bit of time. We've not been here for 2 weeks, have I? So I spent a bit of time investing in the live stream, coming up with some fairly dynamic backgrounds. You'll see a similar sort of format, right? It's not a radical change, but we've had a bit of a change of background. I've done a few borders for some of the chat boxes and stuff. So guys, if you're liking what you're seeing on the screen, let us know. I'd love your feedback. If you think it's great, we'll stick with it. If you prefer the old one, let us know. We'll switch it back.
Matches my kit.
Looks all right. I think it looks all right, to be fair. It doesn't look too bad. So hopefully that's translating quite well. Hopefully that's translating well. I've put the man Diogo Jota in there. I could easily, by the way, have put Heung-min Son on there. But I did this deck for OBS while the Spurs game was on. I thought, do I change it? I thought, no, I'll stick with my man Diogo.
In his McDonald's kit.
In his McDonald's kit. Because goodness me, all the chat leading up to this game, it was all about, you know, is Trent going to play? Is Salah going to play? You know, Diaz and all the rest of it. Well, the one man who did also go away on international duty but played well for Portugal and didn't have the extended minutes that the Salahs and the Diazes of this world did, or the Manes, was Diogo Jota. Got the first goal, I think got the assist for the second as well. And listen, looked really, really good. So maybe we need to have a conversation about bringing him back in. I don't know.
Can we sell Mo?
Can we sell Mo? That is a big question.
I've had enough of him.
Whoa.
Now look.
You've had enough of him. I was going to say hello to a few people, but we need to address this point. It's outrageous.
Okay. Have you been impressed?
Not massively recently.
I mean, let's talk about the last 5 game weeks.
Yeah, no goal from open play now in his last 5.
I'm not... Basically, you owe us all, really. I'm not feeling the love. Oh, there's a lot of money. I could have some back. I could have Jota instead. Like, I won't, because it's Salah. But if I tell you what, if he goes... This is a period of time where 2 difficult games coming up now. Champions League football, Man City. Champions League football, Man City. Then there's the Manchester United game. There's some tough games in there. And he needs to put his finger out. He's worth a lot of money in my FPL team.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but over the last 3 or 4 years, he has been known to do pretty well in big games. So let's not cast him aside until this next fortnight of very, very important games is done.
Yeah, but big, if you're going to cast him aside, it would be matches. Now, wouldn't it? You wouldn't, if you were going to sell Salah...
I don't know. You take him out at your peril, Sam. Who are you going to get? Bruno? I don't think so. Right, let's get into the chat and say hello to a few people. FPL Harry is here. Harry, how you doing, mate? He will bang against City. Beware.
There's another one I sold on my wild card this week. Christian Eriksen.
Okay, well, we need to talk about Chelsea a bit later as well. Well, we are going to talk about your wild card a bit later on. Perhaps you won't want to, but we're going to.
No, I don't mind talking about it, because it was set for the future anyway. So,
and one of the teams we are going to talk about, because they are getting a lot of airtime in the FPL community, is Chelsea. And rightly so, because coming off the back of a reasonable run, they've got a very good-looking fixture list coming up. But that was a bit of a bolt out of the blue. I don't know what Tuchel was doing with that back four, but it doesn't work for them. And I won't take anything away from Brentford, by the way. And Harry, you can tell me whether you agree or disagree with this. But despite not getting any FPL points this weekend, Ivan Toney had one of the best games I've seen him play since his arrival into the Premier League. He was a handful, to say the least, a handful.
It's amazing what Christian Eriksen can do for a team.
Well, yes, and he did play very well. But I would say that Toney was the instigator to all that. He was fantastic. Him and Mbeumo were brilliant.
They were, but brilliant. They haven't been all season. And then you add in a top-quality player, and it must make a difference in terms of just training and everything else that's going on. The atmosphere around that club is different.
Yeah, for sure. And to be fair, what a story. You know, for Eriksen to get the goal,
brilliant.
It's a great story.
It's a great story.
Dread FPL is in. He's saying Toney was boss. He absolutely was. He was very, very good indeed. Andrew Yee is here. How are we doing, Andrew? Let's not talk about United. Nothing's changed. It's all the same. The United rhetoric continues to be fairly negative. I don't want to spend too much time talking about them, but
they were lucky.
Got some good fixtures coming up in FPL.
Oh, they should have lost that game. They were lucky to get a point.
Yeah, I can't help but agree with you. I really can't.
Sorry, United fans.
James Morgan, how are you doing, James? Very nice to see you. Paul Cook is here. He says 4.3. I think he's referring to Shah. That is Shah. 4.3. Unbelievable.
This is a good cup of tea you've made, by the way.
Well, there we go. Yeah, I'm getting quite good practice in this. Simon Cowell's Trousers is in.
Sorry.
Hello, Simon Cowell's Trousers. How are you? And Raheem Khan, one of our other members, both he and Simon Cowell's Trousers are members of the YouTube channel. So guys, if you want
to
check us out and become a member of the YouTube channel, and then I think the little join button is just underneath us. If you want to give us a follow over there, want to support the channel, then we'd love you to do so. Who else have we got in here? Liam Healy, also a member. Evening, Lee and Sam. Finally, a bit of luck with Son and Doherty in his team. Nice, Liam. I like that, mate. Paul Cook is in. He says, agree. Eriksen has been great. Yes, he'd been a breath of fresh air, no doubt about it. And Sonny Forsberg is in and says, Sam, you must be mad. Salah stays for me.
I mean, I'm not going to sell him, but I'm just saying that if you were going to, now would be the moment, wouldn't it? Ahead of a difficult run of fixtures. to reinvest. But the reality is you're still going to want Salah back. So.
Yeah. All right. We've got a hair looks fab, Sam, commenting here. Hair's looking fab.
Thanks.
There we go.
I mean, it really needs a new dye. It needs some more dye. Don't look at it too closely. And it's been at the Spurs Stadium, so it's a bit of a mess. I was just actually thinking it looks a bit of a mess, but thanks.
And we've got love in the mug, Sam. The return of the Spurs mug. But we haven't seen that quite so much this season,
well,
in the FPL family.
It's because it's sort of...
The badge was starting to fade under
fading.
Mourinho. You need to get a new Conte mug.
Yeah, I probably do. Maybe we'll go again.
Now that the Spurs renaissance is on.
Well...
The badge isn't fading anymore. It's
the princess one was a bit upset with me today that I didn't take her. So,
right.
There are general sale tickets for Brighton, so I might have a look at that. It's Easter weekend. We could all go.
Well, one thing's for sure.
We could see some decent football for a change.
One thing's for sure. Playing Brighton, they ain't scoring past you. They ain't scoring. They can't score for Toffee at the minute. Let's go to the main FPL family webpage here. I need to just move that down a little bit.
Stop moving stuff live in play or break it.
I just
why is the Twitter bird there?
Well, that dynamically changes, Sam. You wait. There's a little... And the more astute of you will have seen, by the way. This is shocking, by the way. But when I was setting this up, I come across this little widget that, like... There you go,
right.
I don't think it's supposed to do that.
You've broken that.
I don't think...
That's not working properly.
That's not working properly, is it? I need to fix that.
Can I ask a question?
Go on.
Does sun still appear if somebody becomes a member?
It should, yeah. So if you subscribe to the channel, you should get the little pop-up with Sun. Yeah. If someone becomes a member, you should get the little Salah pop-up. I don't know, I think so.
Oh,
yes,
it's working, not changed.
Oh, it's changed now. Now it seems to be working. So I've got, guys, you know me. You know me, I'm trying stuff out.
I'm
trying to be dynamic. Look, there's an Insta one. In a minute, you're going to see a Twitch one.
We're not on Twitch.
I know.
What is Twitch?
It's Twitch. What do you mean, what's Twitch? You work in the media, for goodness sake. Twitch is a media streaming channel like YouTube, mostly for gamers.
Oh, I've been on Twitch.
I should hope you have.
With Rambo.
Yeah, you probably have. Yeah,
yeah.
You're going to see an FPL family Twitch one in a minute.
Well, we haven't got one of them.
There we go, but we haven't got a Twitch. Did you know why that's on there?
Why?
Because I haven't figured out how to take the Twitch one out yet. It's a preset, like, pop-up, media pop-up thing. And it's like, put your social media in here and we'll pop up and we'll scroll.
Who's just said this is world-class graphics? This is not world-class graphics.
It is what? Thank you,
no.
Ahim.
No, it is not world-class graphics. Don't encourage him.
It is world-class graphics. It is. I genuinely think that's amazing, that thing at the bottom.
I also noticed you've used a different picture of us and I haven't even got blonde hair anymore.
What, in the opening stream starting thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite an old picture.
Yeah.
I just found it on your desktop. This is your laptop, isn't it? I just found it there. Anyway, this is riveting for everybody, Sam. Let's get into the game. We've already discussed Spurs 5, Everton 1, but I do want to talk about
the other
game.
Have we finished saying hello to people?
We have finished saying hello to people. We'll continue to say hello to people as we go through. The other game today.
I didn't see any of this because I was travelling.
Okay.
Travelling. So you'll have to do the Everton bashing.
Well, we were watching London Colney Colts for the first half, weren't we? But I did get home in time to watch a little bit of the second half. It was not good from an Everton perspective. And now, that game on a Wednesday, the game against Burnley, takes on added significance, right? Everton fans will take a bit of comfort in knowing that they are, I think, on the same points in 17th that... I can't remember who's in 18th, but I don't think it is Burnley. It might be Watford, maybe. But 17th and 18th are on the same points, but Everton have got two games in hand.
Yeah, but can you see them winning any of them?
Well, this is the problem. That comfort blanket goes away if they lose against Burnley on Wednesday. And I honestly can see them losing that game. I can't see where an Everton win comes from, because even the goal today, even the Mason Holgate goal, trust me, he ain't scoring a goal like that every week, Mason Holgate. It's a worldie out of nowhere. It's a great strike, don't get me wrong. It's going to be up there for goal of the month. But it wasn't... Apart from that, I didn't see like Everton creating a ton of chances for Calvert-Lewin, for example. I didn't see Richarlison getting in behind all the time. And they are still making individual errors, like Iwobi, that led to the Antonio assist for the Bowen goal. And they're making a lot of mistakes, like Michael Keane. Like, Michael Keane, not being funny... This is not a kid, right? He's not 21 years old. He's a 29-year-old defender, professional footballer. To get the two yellows like he got, and I appreciate you haven't seen it, but let me tell you, the second one, having been booked, it's silly. It's silly and it's naive, and you would not expect a 29-year-old defender to make it. So what's the FPL relevance of all of that? Well, the FPL relevance is, I think you've got to start targeting Everton, because I don't see them getting out of this.
Oof.
I don't see them getting out of this. I think they're going to go down, because they are easily the worst team in the league at the minute. Easily. and I'm worried for him.
No, so you're not.
Listen, no one wants to see a massive team. And this is no disrespect to any of the other teams that do eventually go down. But Everton are a Premier League powerhouse, right? These are one of the teams.
Don't give me this. As a Liverpool fan, you would love nothing more than to see your team lift the trophy in a year that Everton go down.
My team lifting the trophy, yes. Would I take any joy in Everton going down? I wouldn't take any joy in it. I think it'd be funny for a little while, but I don't know.
Well,
it's just that he's got no ideas, Lampard. He's got no ideas, right? No, he hasn't, Sam. He's so tactically
it's not that he's got no ideas. It's that he is the wrong manager for a relegation battle.
He's got no ideas how to get out of a relegation battle.
That's fair enough. The reality of the situation is that with Frank Lampard, when he left to go to Chelsea, I understand why he did it, because, dream and all of that. But if he'd have stayed at Derby for another 2, 3, 4 years, he'd have earned his craft, he'd have learnt what he was doing, and he'd be able to manage the circumstances in this situation. He'd have dealt with disappointment and stuff like that. Instead, what's happened is he's gone to Chelsea, been fired, and he's ended up at Everton, which is a decent job. However, he doesn't have the resources in terms of the players that he's got there.
You're not telling me he didn't go to that club and say, I want to get Van der Beek, Dele Alli and anyone else. He's come in there and he's surely had some input to buying those players.
Well, I'm sure he's had some input.
He doesn't know what to do with Van der Beek. I'm telling you now.
Well, Van der Beek's injured again, isn't he?
He doesn't know what to do with those players. He doesn't know what to do with
them. But they're not relegation battle players. This is my point. Is that you've got a squad there which has got... I was going to call them flair players, but they're not even that. They're luxury players.
Yeah.
They're not players for a relegation battle. You need grit and determination and players like Burnley have got, right? You've got to have gritty players that will dig in and get points from places that they shouldn't be getting them from, like Burnley did against Spurs. You need players like that. And Everton, I don't see that. I don't see that personality in that team. So from that perspective, I really worry for them. Because
so if we're targeting Everton then, surely we're all aboard Man United, aren't we? They've got Man United next week, and then United have got a double, I think. I'm going to check the
fixtures. Well, they have got a double, but did you watch... I mean, I sat and watched that game against Leicester, and genuinely...
Look at that. United got Everton next, and then Norwich as part of a double. All right, it's Liverpool, and then it's away at Arsenal. But we're all aboard. In a week where it's going to be difficult, and we'll talk about this a bit later on, captaincy for 32 doesn't look that easy.
We're about to suggest we captain a Man United player.
Everton are that bad? Yes, I am. Yes, I am, potentially.
Right, the only Manchester United player I trust at the moment is Fred.
It's possibly true. Yeah,
like,
possibly
honestly,
true.
I look at Manchester United right now, and, we sat, didn't we, last night, we were watching... What's his name?
Who?
The Man United guy.
You have to be a bit more specific than that.
The YouTuber.
Mark Goldbridge.
Yeah. And you can see I've had a long day, can't you?
The Man United
and he was
guy.
Rating the players, and I was like... I couldn't agree more. Like, they were average at best for most of that game. Yeah. Leicester deserved to win it. And so even with a game against Everton next, would you be certain... You're not going to be able to fund Bruno or Kane. So who would you pick from a United perspective?
Mm. It is difficult. And we'll talk about United a bit later on. But let's just finish up on West Ham 2, Everton 1. West Ham, for their part, decent. Bowen coming back. Even he said in his post-match that the injury itself felt fine. He said his lungs felt a bit knackered, so he's still obviously finding a bit of match fitness. But
he felt tired.
Back with a goal and assist, and maybe three bonus points. So what's not to like about Jared? Is he straight back into our FPL teams? What are we saying?
Well, maybe. I mean, he's definitely a talent. We've learnt that earlier on this season. When West Ham are playing well, he's generally speaking at the heart of it. And I think, over the last
Brentford
couple of
next,
weeks...
Then Burnley. Okay. No double.
No double, which might put some people off. But, and the trouble with Jared Bowen is if he was a forward, I think you absolutely 100% go all out and get him in. But because he's a midfielder, there's a bit more of a conversation to be had around those positions, isn't there? Because a lot of people will have gone for a Leicester midfielder, or they might be looking at somebody like Ryan Fraser maybe at Newcastle. So, if you are looking to target in double game weeks, then maybe Jared Bowen isn't quite the one. But I do really like him. I'm interested to watch that game on Match of the Day.
Top player. Yeah, top player. I've had a super chat, Sam, from Simon Cowell's Trousers. Thank you, Simon Cowell's Trousers. Thank you for that.
It always feels really weird talking about Simon Cowell's Trousers so much, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, it does. AKA Susan Boyle. AKA Cy Burdett. So, Cy, welcome to the stream. He said, you'll like this. Since Everton last scored at Stamford Bridge, Ericsson scored there, moved to Italy, scored a hat-trick, won Serie A, had a heart attack, came back to life, returned to the Premier League and scored there again.
That is the best stat I've ever heard.
I got one that can probably trump that.
No, nothing.
Nothing's going to trump that.
Nothing will ever trump Christian Eriksen now. Ever. Life in general. He goes away, apart from the fact that he got COVID the week I had him in my FPL team. But nonetheless, he goes away on international duty. He scores. He says, that's the warm-up for next game when I'm going back to the place where I had my heart attack and I'm going to score again. Not only does he say that, he has the guts to go out there and do it. And then he comes back and he scores against Chelsea.
It's so good. It's a great story, isn't it?
I love him so much. For God's sake, someone give that man a 5-year contract.
And I don't know whether it's because he's playing for Brentford, and with respect to the rest of the Brentford players, he's a world class player amongst a team of average to decent players. Tony and Bromo, good players, right? But Brentford as a squad, average to decent, right? And he's a world class player. So maybe when you're watching Brentford, he stands out. I don't know, but I genuinely think, and I didn't watch a lot of him in Serie A, admittedly, but he looks better now. No, than he did before.
But you said to me yesterday, why did Spurs sell him? Well, we sold him because he wanted to leave. He wanted to go and play somewhere else. He didn't want to sign a contract, so we sold him. And he was doing really well.
Yeah.
He was doing really well in Serie A. So it wasn't like, he was performing badly. And he would have stayed there happily had it not been for the heart attack, meaning he can't play there. So he needs a Premier League club to come in and give him a contract. But it needs to be a good Premier League club. I'm not saying Brentford aren't, but he could make such a difference in some of those sort of... those that are fighting for European spots, he will make such a difference in those teams.
Okay, all right. Just to finish up on the Bowen thing, then straight back in your team, or are you going to... Is the lack of double game week going to put people off?
Might do, yeah.
When it really shouldn't. Because there's a couple of games there that you'd expect him to come back and do really well in, right?
Yeah.
Brentford, then Burnley.
Yeah.
We're going to get... Here we go again. We're going to get blinded by the double game week and not bring him in, are we? When we really probably should.
Yeah, could easily happen.
This is a guy that was essential in FPL not so long ago before the injury, right?
He got injured, didn't he? And then we all sold him. But yeah.
He's definitely one I'm looking at, I must admit. And of course, I'm trying to set my team up for the double game week in 33. However, having burnt the bench boost a few weeks ago, I'm not quite so like, I must get the double game week and I must maximise that chip. So if I'm looking for a Coutinho exit route, which I will be, spoiler alert, because of my transfers... he might be one that comes into my thoughts, honestly. Because Brentford and Burnley up next, despite the lack of double game week, I just watched him today and just thought, yeah, he's come back and he's hit the ground running. He's hit the ground running. Looks great. So that was West Ham versus Everton.
Oh, just dropped my ring.
Let's go back onto Saturday and let's talk about this game at Stamford Bridge, which was a bizarre game. I mean, despite the fact that Rudiger scored what can only be described as an absolute thunderbolt. What a goal. It's an unbelievable strike. And I don't think even he or his teammates could believe that he'd scored it. And I noticed, actually, Sam, that top for shots in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, and if you're not a member of Fantasy Football Scout yet, you can join the website over there with some of the links that are in the description below. And you get access to a whole load of dashboards and stats that we use fairly regularly here on the FPL Family live stream. And one of the members areas stats page, on the front page, it says shots. So the top five shot takers this week. Diogo Jota up there with 6. Rudiger up there with 6 as well. So what is this Rudiger shooting on site this week? What's going on?
Well, 2 weeks. For 2 solid weeks, Rudiger sat in my FPL team. And then Thomas Tuchel spoke. Oh, James is fit, fully available.
Yeah.
Swapped him out.
Yeah.
Boy, do I regret that decision at the moment. Now, I think longer term, I won't regret it so much because I do think that James is better from an attacking point of view normally than Rudiger.
I think that's a difficult one, by the way. Reece
James?
Yeah.
Yes,
and
I get
why people were bringing him in. I really do because, the rhetoric from Tuchel was pretty good, wasn't it?
In the press conferences,
etc. He spoke pretty well, I think, in terms of giving us some confidence that he was going to play. But I was just a little bit put off by it.
But it's different if you're wildcarding.
If you're wildcarding, I guess it's different.
It was different because it's like it wasn't just bringing it in for, it wasn't a transfer. I think if I was just making a transfer and going to target a Chelsea defender, I would have stuck with Rudiger this week. But on a wildcard, knowing that I was setting my team up for the final 8 game weeks of the season, over those 8 game weeks, Rudiger will have far less attacking threat than Reece James will.
Yeah.
So going with Reece James and not banking in a transfer to change Rudiger to Reece James over the next few weeks made a lot of sense in my mind. So
did you read anything into the Rudiger celebration, by the way? Did you see the celebration running over to Tuchel, giving it, really, that didn't seem like a player that was going to leave in the summer, I'll put it that way.
Well, if they don't want him to leave, they're going to have to offer him a big contract, aren't they?
Big money, isn't it? Big money. But they probably, he's probably earned it with some of his, if not performances this season, some of his goals. He has chipped in, no doubt about it. But I think if you've bought in Reece James over Rudiger, I think that is absolutely fine to hold now, right? James is, it was always
now.
A bit 50-50 over whether he was going to play for that game. They've obviously got a massive Champions League tie coming up.
Yeah.
And then they've got, you know, reasonable looking fixtures going forward. While we're here, let's have a look at that fixture list for Chelsea. The Chelsea fixture list, let's find them. Here they are. Southampton away next. Arsenal at home in 33, which is obviously that's the
it's a big game at the top, that is.
Well, it is.
For Champions League.
Suddenly, that top four race looks alive, doesn't it? And Arsenal-Chelsea is going to be quite big. In fact, Chelsea were pretty nailed on for third, weren't they, until fairly recently. Now, all of a sudden, that game, should Arsenal win that at Stamford Bridge, which is a big ask, undoubtedly, but could Arsenal win that game at Stamford Bridge? And it would really open it up.
They could just play out a draw and we could...
Could also happen. Because you've got Brighton at home that week, which looks a really nice fixture. But then for Chelsea, it's West Ham and then Everton and Wolves. So the fixtures don't look too bad. But then, the lack of double is maybe going to put people off in 33, going in on, you know, James, Rudiger and Mount and Havertz. What's your thoughts on Chelsea going forward? Is this a team we want to be just going in on one Chelsea defender? Is that result from the weekend putting you off them altogether?
No, it's not putting me off them altogether. I think, you know, Chelsea do have these moments every now and then. It doesn't put me off entirely. I'm happy to own Reece James. I have no issue with that. I think it slightly puts me off. So again, we're back in this conversation about midfielders, aren't we? Because there are so many attractive ones right now. It would put me off investing in that. You know, we had Pulisic not available because he got back late. Or later than Tuchel would have wanted from international duty.
Yeah.
Fine. But then he's going to come back in. There will be some rotation around those midfield positions. Because like you've already mentioned, they've got really important Champions League matches over the next two midweek periods.
Yeah.
Plus the FA Cup game the following week in game week 33. And then there will be a double. So there is a point where you were kind of looking at those going, well, look, they're pretty safe in third. Will Tuchel prioritise those tournaments? Will we therefore see some rotation around in the league? Well, I don't think he can now because it's like you've mentioned, it's getting quite tight for those top positions. So now we're going to have to see some priority across the league as well. But Chelsea do have some really good midfield players. You know, they've got players in there like Havertz, like Mount, like Pulisic, like Ziyech, that they can't play them all together all at the same time. So there will likely be some rotation. And that does put me off because they are more expensive than I'd want to pay for a rotation risk player.
Okay. Dread FPL is in the chat. He's saying I captained Havertz and then a crying emoji. But I'll be honest... very unlucky. Yeah. I mean, Havertz could easily have had a brace. Yeah. There was a 5 or 10 minute period in the second half where he could have had a hat trick, to be honest with you.
He's the best.
I still think he's all right. He's a hold, I think. If you've bought in Havertz, I don't think you should sell Havertz. No. I think you're okay to be there. The thing that Chelsea, I think, are missing a little bit, and Harry and the others can sort of keep me honest in the chat, is that, you know, as I mentioned before, with the Canes and Antonios and Firminos, etc., this number nine position is taking on a whole new persona, it's a whole new way of playing. And I think the way that Tuchel wants to play, he realises that his best attackers are the ones on the side, right? He's got, and they miss Chilwell right now, so obvious thing to say, but Chilwell and James, when they're fit, are two of the most potent fullbacks in the league.
Totally agree.
So they need that number nine. Like if hypothetically speaking, if they had a Harry Kane in there, then those two would
Lukaku.
Well, don't. That's my point. Is they haven't, right? Because of what's going on with Lukaku, and I just don't think Havertz, as great as he is, and I love him. I think he's a great player, and I think he's a nice pick between now and the end of the season. Don't think he's doing. He's not doing the job that Tuchel necessarily needs and wants him to do in that system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, and I think for me, and I don't know if you agree, but I wouldn't prioritise a Chelsea midfielder as a transfer in, I don't think.
No, probably not. Probably not. And almost bought Mount in this week. I almost bought Havertz in. In fact, there was a 0.1 that stopped me bringing Havertz in.
For who? Coutinho. You'd have gone early on.
Yeah, Coutinho to Havertz. I was considering, but I was 0.1 out, and I don't look at that and think, oh, you know, that was. I'm glad I didn't do that because I can see why people did, and I'm still looking at it now, thinking
unlucky.
I still want Coutinho out because of the blank in 33, and Havertz is still on the radar, no doubt, because he could easily have had some returns. Brentford, for their part, as I said before, you know, Jan out gets the goals. Visser and, you know, Eriksen it's the headlines, it's the story. I'm unbelievably happy for him. It's a brilliant
story.
His
little face when he scored.
But I'm here to tell you that the best player on the park was Ivan Toney by a country mile. He was fantastic.
The thing is with Toney is it's really... The thing I like about Toney is it's really easy to invest there. And I know I sound like Ericsson's biggest fan at the moment. And it is all very romantic and you know, it's a wonderful story. But I do genuinely think that having somebody turn up at Brentford that's that kind of player, the impact that must have on Toney around him, even if it's not Eriksen that's putting the ball, you know there's always a good opportunity that he's going to put a ball in for you. So you're going to make the runs and be in the right places. Toney had a great game, but I think it's inspiring to have somebody like that in your side and training with you all the time. So from an FBL perspective, when we're all done with Weghorst, which let's be frank, we all will be soon.
Again.
It's a really easy move to go from Weghorst to Toney. And if Brentford can continue to play in, at the way that they have been in the last couple of games, then that only bodes well.
Okay, all right. Shout out for Mbeumo as well. Mbeumo was very good. Yeah, very, very good. Enjoyed watching that.
But
Brentford,
I think if you were
going to
go for a midfielder, you'd go Eriksen over Mbeumo.
Not based on what I watched at Stamford Bridge.
I'd go Eriksen over Mbeumo.
Ooh, I don't know. Mbeumo was fantastic. So that's a tight call, that. It's a tight call. Couple of other games too. We're not going to go through, you know, I always say this every week, we'll go through game by game, but I just want to talk about some of the key topics. And one of the key topics is going to be, if you've got Aston Villa players, like I have, I'm currently quite heavily invested in Villa.
And Wolves.
And if you've got Wolves players as well, both of these teams, as far as I'm aware, blank in game week 33. I know Villa do. I'm just going to double check that I've got that right on Wolves as well before we go any further. Yes, Wolves blank, as well as Aston Villa blanking in 33, alongside Leeds. So here I am with... I've already sorted out 8 Nori. That was my transfer for this week.
Who'd you go to?
I went to Roberts, didn't I? To be honest with you, I looked at it and I thought, well...
Cheap and cheerful.
Just playing so many more games than 8 Nori. And then 8 Nori got benched this week. And I'm just like, well, that was... And I had 2 free transfers. And I genuinely wasn't sure what to do. I was... The Coutinho to Havertz was on my mind. But I just thought... I'm not feeling it enough to want to spend my 2 transfers there. So I made a really boring transfer this week of 8 Nori to Roberts, so that I've still got 2 for next week, and then I can maybe assess it again and we can go again maybe for next week. But Wolves 2, Aston Villa 1, if you're invested in either of these teams, get ready to start the exodus, I would suggest. Now, I've got cash, I've got Coutinho, and I've got Hwang. So the fact I've got 2 free transfers is good because... I don't know who I'm going to go to yet. I need to put some thought into that and maybe you guys can help me a bit towards the end of the stream.
Yeah,
but
Hwang to Toney, can't you?
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But for sure, I've got a pretty keen eye on who my players out are going to be.
You don't have Weghorst.
I don't have Weghorst. No, I don't have Weghorst yet. Potentially get Weghorst. But I can't help but feel the same way you feel about
Nobody
him, which
wants
is
Weghorst.
I don't really
I've got
want
Weghorst.
Him.
I don't know why. I don't know why he's there. He's just there.
Yeah,
because he's got so many games.
And you guys are quite rightly saying it in the chat, right? Van City Blues, great reminder. Don't forget Villa might get a double in 34. So yes, that could happen. But right now, I'm not feeling Villa. And here's 2 teams that I don't really know if I could call their results at the moment. Wolves and Villa, both very Jekyll and Hyde. 1 week very good, the next week not very good. And if I'm being hypercritical about a guy that I love, I wonder whether the Stevie Gerrard impact, what do we call it? What's that little, the honeymoon period, isn't it? Is the honeymoon period over for Stevie Gerrard? Because there have been a couple of times in the last couple of weeks where he's got to learn the tactical side of the game. I'm just not sure about Villa at the minute.
No.
No?
No. No, okay. I don't think the Villa is a big problem. And I think if you've still got a Villa... So if you've got three Villa players, then clearly you're going to have to do something ahead of game week 33. But if you don't have a bench boost that you're not planning to play in 33, then I don't think it's an issue to hold a Villa player and bench them through game week 33. Particularly
on the basis they've got the double in 34.
Particularly if it's Cash or Coutinho. I think if you've got those two, then there's definitely scope for holding them. I think you can't odds... Luka Dinya getting injured again, bringing on Ashley Young and him scoring an own goal. Like, you know, there are certain things that you, as a manager, that you can't negate. You know, that's just bad luck on Gerrard's part. There were moments in that game where Villa could and probably should have scored.
They weren't on it. They weren't on it, but they were sloppy and giving it away and stuff. It wasn't very good.
But...
Especially first half.
I don't think it's a massive panic. Like, I think... Maybe the midfielder spot with Coutinho. If I was in your shoes, I'd be prioritising getting rid of Hwang and I'd be prioritising getting rid of Coutinho because those midfielder spots are quite valuable to
even
us.
Even if Little Phil's got the double in 34?
Well, yeah, because I think the reality of the situation is you've got then Cash that comes in for the double and my thinking was that you go to Ramsey as your cheap, replace Gordon with him and go to Ramsey because at that point you've got two doubling players. Ramsey's been quite, you know, he's been quite... borderline prolific in that Aston Villa team in terms
Cash
of
was still
returns.
To be fair to Cash, he was still getting forward in that game. He had a chance literally right at the death, last kick of the game, and Martinez made a great save. So
it's going to be coming from his side, isn't
it?
You know, I think, let's see, I don't think Cash is a priority sell for you, but I do think Hwang is for sure, and I think Coutinho would be next on the list of players.
You say Hwang's a priority sell, which is true, but where'd you go? He's like 5.3, 5.4. I can't really
Cucho
go
Hernandez?
Far. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Because he didn't look too bad, did he? He looked all right.
I mean, say it quietly in case I get punched in the face, but I thought Watford were the better team against Liverpool.
I'm not sure I would say that, but they did play quite well. So Wolves versus Aston Villa, 2-1 to Wolves. It could have been any score, to be honest with you. First half, Villa, I wasn't impressed at all. Second half, they were better. And Stevie did come out and say that in his post-match. He said, look, they needed to do something at half-time. And he did rally them. They were better. Watkins, he scored the pen, right? And he won the pen very well. But he's wasteful again. He should have scored more goals, Watkins.
Yeah.
At least he's getting in those positions. At least he's getting in the positions. But anyway, I've got three that are not playing in game week 33. So I've got my two transfers. For sure, I'm going to be looking to move those three players on. Mm-hmm. Possibly one or two of them. If not all three,
we should be knowing ahead of game week. I would hope that ahead of game week 33, we'll know about game week 34. So you'll know whether Villa, because if Villa come out of the blank without a double in 34, then you probably can look to shift.
Okay. All right. Talk to me why you think Watford were better than Liverpool on Saturday lunchtime. Talk us through that one.
I thought Watford had a good game.
Right. Okay.
Did you not?
I think your exact words a second ago were you thought Watford were the better team. So I'd like to hear your analysis.
Watford could have got something out of that game. I thought you were quite lucky.
Watford could have got something out of that game. But tell me why you think Watford were the better team.
Because I thought Salah was poor, again.
Right.
I thought Diego Jota had a good game. I thought Robertson had a good game. I think we should see more of Simicast. But I thought Robertson had a good game. But I didn't think Liverpool were at their best. But then that is what makes a champion, I guess, is that you get something out of a game when you don't play the best you can. I think my point more is that I thought Liverpool played well below their standards and I think it was one of the best games I've seen Watford play.
Okay, yeah. Don't disagree with any of that. I thought man of the match was Thiago Alcantara by a long shot. He's really good. Firmino played pretty well, and I thought Fabinho played pretty well when he came on.
Watford,
so,
I thought, better without King and Dennis.
Yeah, because that front three for Watford was an unusual front three, wasn't
better,
it? Because they had Cucho Hernandez in there,
Pedro.
And they had Pedro, and they had Ismail Assar. And actually, that it seemed to be a bit more dynamic.
It was better.
Actually,
they were better
than the others.
Without them, they were better.
Yeah.
They had more going forward. They could have scored in that game. I'm not saying that for a second that Watford are suddenly going to become a team that we should all invest in. But Cucho Hernandez with Ismail Assar, I thought that was a decent combination. And had it been against a team that weren't Liverpool, they probably would have got something out of that game.
All right, okay. You heard it here first, folks. Watford, the better side against Liverpool in that 2-0 win.
Does anybody agree with me in the chat, by the way? Is
no
it Ed?
One
does anybody?
Don't be ridiculous. Let's see the Watford fixtures going forward. I'm interested in them. So Leeds and then Brentford at home next. And then Man City away, which clearly is difficult. And then Burnley and Palace. So Watford, again, potentially.
Watford to beat Man City?
I would love it, but no, I can't see it. But here again, we have a team that do not double in game week 33 that we're probably going to overlook, but are not playing too bad at the minute.
Cucho
Hernandez is a player that I might look to bring in because I've got Hwang and I don't want him, right? So
I don't think Cucho Hernandez... And you've done your bench boost. You don't have to play Cucho Hernandez.
Yeah, yeah.
He's nice and cheap. You can bench him. You can just go for a front... Like, there is definitely scope to just pack... We've seen how important those wing-backs are. We can pack our defenders and our midfielders out. We can just go Broyer and Cucho Hernandez up top with Kane, and you'd absolutely get away with it. Just play Kane up top most weeks with a five across the middle,
okay,
and four in the back, and you're laughing, surely.
Okay.
If you've bench-boosted already.
All right, well, certainly not a vintage Liverpool performance, that is for sure, but to go into a lunchtime kickoff on the back of an international break... When Salah and Mane and Diaz have all played tons of minutes, to get the job done against Watford is good. It's really, really good. What else do we want to talk about? Any other FPL talking points here? Should we just talk quickly? Let's do a quick Man United debrief with the Leicester game. Because Man United, the fixtures, let's go back to the Manchester United fixtures and look at those. Everton and then the double game week. All right, one's at Anfield. Then it's Arsenal, Brentford, Brighton. So here, you know, again, a team that maybe we need to be looking at if we agree that we're going to target Everton. So what are we saying about this Manchester United game? Not impressed
by
Rangnick's boys again.
I just really struggle with this. And I think most Man United fans would agree with me. How do you invest in them? Because the reality of the situation, as I said earlier, is you can't invest in Bruno Fernandes because you can't afford to budget him. You can't do Ronaldo because you can't afford to budget for him because you're going to want to own Kane, and you're probably going to still want to have Salah, and you're going to want to have Trent.
Are you selling Salah?
No, I'm not. I'm just suggesting that, you know, could we? But the point I'm making is that those premium Man United assets you can't own. Then we've got players like Luke Shaw being hauled off. We've got Fred.
All right. Well,
So
you're a bit negative about Man United. What about Leicester then? So Leicester's fixtures coming up. It's Palace, I think, at home next. Then it's Newcastle and Everton away. Both away in the double. So a reasonable looking double before they come out into Aston Villa at home in 34. So here's a team that we should be investing in.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Barnes, I think, in your wild card. How are we feeling about the Barnes versus Maddison discussion right now?
Well, I mean, Maddison was the pick this week, but I thought Barnes was unlucky. He could have got returns in that game. I thought he played really well.
How do you like Maddison on this right hand side of the front three? I think he looks
played
cracking.
Really well. Played really well.
I think he looks great in that position.
We will be getting Jamie Vardy back at some point as well, presumably. So, you know, let's keep an eye out for that. I think I liked Leicester. I thought they were unlucky. I thought Maddison nailed it, actually, in his interview after the game when he was saying, you know, you can't be disappointed when you take a point at Old Trafford, but I am a little bit disappointed, is effectively what he was saying. And I think they're right to be. James Justin was a player that I was really tightly watching on wildcard. And the reason I didn't do him in the end was because I was really worried about Leicester's priorities. And this still stands for me, this, because they are sort of in mid-table no man's land in terms of next season's progression in Europe. But they are still in the Europa Conference League. And the Europa Conference League win will give them the Europa League next season.
He's got to be looking at that,
Rodgers.
He's
got to be looking at it.
He's
so he's got, obviously, had Manchester United. Then in midweek this week, he's got the Conference. Then, obviously, back into the league. Then it's the Conference. And then they've got so many games to play that if they make it through in the Conference, they will play midweek and weekend football every single week until the end of the season.
Yeah.
So
there will be rotation.
There will be rotation. And with somebody like James Justin and also Vardy, if he makes it back, when you've got players, Johnny Evans, got players coming back from a long-term injury, you have to protect them a bit. They cannot play 90 minutes twice a week.
No.
For eight games. Well, not even eight games. It's 16 games it could be. So you can't. You'll break them again. So that is my one concern with Leicester. I'm fully liking the idea of investing in them. The fixtures are good. The form is there. They played well against Manchester United. But make sure you've got a bench to cover any rotation.
Yeah, I thought it was for an away performance, because Leicester have been pretty bad away from home, haven't they?
They have. Yeah.
They've actually performed pretty well, I thought. And given that Leicester, you know, have been pretty leaky from set pieces as well, I didn't think Manchester United really made the most of the set piece opportunities they had. But anyway, in the end, the point was probably about right for the game.
Yep.
I agree with you, Leicester. If you were going to say one team deserved the win, you'd probably say Leicester. But yeah, a point was probably about right. But I for sure have got my eye on some of these Leicester assets. I agree with you. I think the European thing is a thing.
It's just a worry.
But if I was going to go in there, and I might still, because again, I need a Coutinho exit. I don't have any. But again, this Coutinho exit plan, I've already said Bowen, I've already said a couple of other players. I've got an eye on Maddison, yeah, no doubt about it. Because him in the right of that front three, he looked very advanced, and I'd love to see his touches in the box. In fact, I wonder if I can pull up that stat. Maybe I'll try and put it up in a second. But he was absolutely in there and in the danger zone the whole time. So I'm quite keen on Maddison. Like the look of him. So there we go, Sam. That is the review of the games.
So far. We've
still got two to come. We've got the Arsenal game against Palace tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Monday night.
I mean, I don't really know what I want to happen there, because I want returns from...
You've got Saka, haven't you?
Yeah, and Ramsdale. But I also want Palace to win.
Okay. I don't think Ramsdale's going to play, is he?
Yeah, apparently he's fully trained today.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that'd be handy, because I've got Foster coming on for a one-pointer off
the
bench.
I've got Dubravka, so... We can see
with a zero. Yeah. Nice. Okay, so we both want Ramsdale to play.
But I want them to lose.
Well, I guess you do, from a Spurs perspective. Yeah. I guess you do.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a bit conflicted interest here, really.
I wouldn't say there's any conflict at all. I think you want them to lose.
What I really want to happen is, like, Ramsdale could save a penalty, Saka could score, yeah, but then they lose 5-1.
Yeah, all right. Well, that is the football dealt with, Sam. Now we move to the tenuous and somewhat disappointing topic of our FPL teams. Honestly, really not a very good game week at all, to be honest with you. 27 points, really bad.
Who you got left?
Well, that is my only saving grace. I've got, hopefully, Ramsdale, Roberts and Gordon to play again. So both of them with a one-pointer.
Why did he get benched today?
Have we mentioned that Lampard doesn't know what he's doing?
What was that about?
I don't know. Why would you bench your best player? Best player. He's been the best. He's the form player. He's been their best player
really
for the last month.
I understand the benching of Gordon. I didn't get it.
I don't know. Frank Lampard is doomed, isn't he? Let's face it.
They might get out of it.
And I've got Saka, obviously, as most have, and I've got Lacazette as well.
Lacazette.
This is my team before the bonus points were added, because this is when I pulled this together. But my points and the wording on the right-hand side is from Live FPL, so I know that I'm in and around the 159k area, which is, again, not great. That's looking like a 20 to 30k dip at the minute. But listen, I don't think... You know, I think, and I hope once I've got, you know, those, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I've got 5 still to go. You know, if Saka or Lacazette decided not to turn up tomorrow, that would be wonderful, because then I'd have Doherty's 14 and all would be well in the world. But as it is, I've benched Doherty, which is a stinker. But if those 5 come in and they play...
One of them's coming on for a 1-point cameo, aren't they?
Oh, you just know that, like, I don't know, Lacazette will get benched and come on for 5 minutes. You just know it. But anyway, I've got 5 still to play with Doherty waiting in the wings should one of them not play. So, yeah, I'm cool with that. In terms of my team for next week, as I've mentioned a few times already, I've got to think about exit plans for those players that I bought in on a wild card about 2 or 3 weeks ago that helped me, you know, through this difficult period of navigating games, like Cash, like Coutinho, like Huang. Those are the 3, really, that I've got my eye on, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Even Gordon, that I'm not 100% feeling right now, but because he's so cheap, and because I think they've got a double game week, haven't they? So,
well, this week,
no, Everton have got a double in 33, I believe. Let me just check that.
I don't think so. They've got theirs this week.
They've got the second game still to play this week, but haven't they got another one coming up? No, you're right.
No.
Okay, no, I'm wrong.
They haven't had theirs rescheduled yet.
Okay, spot the person that does fantasy for a living. There we go. They've got Leicester at home in 33. So Gordon, yeah, probably get a stay of execution just because he's so cheap. But elsewhere, it's fine, right? It's fine. I've got Doherty. I've got Robbo and Trent against Man City next week, which doesn't feel amazing, but one of them might make the bench, and then I'll just stick Doherty in there instead.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
Who are you going to captain next week?
Yeah, good question.
It's really hard.
Good question. Very difficult. Let's bring up the fixtures and look at who the main protagonists are. So, if I had... Well, I guess Arsenal at home to Brighton, I guess, right?
So Saka
or Laka. Let's have a look at them tomorrow and see what happens, right? It's probably going to be one of those two. because Man City versus Liverpool just throws it all off, doesn't it? It's very, very difficult.
Kane's in there.
Kane is in with a shout, potentially.
Aston Villa.
Everything we've mentioned about Aston Villa and Stevie G, and that they're going through a bit of a difficult time. But they are better at home.
They are much better at home.
Better at home. And I wonder whether Spurs going away might be a bit more difficult. But I do think you'll get some space in behind those fullbacks, you know. So potentially...
Particularly if Luka Dean don't make it.
Yeah, Kane is in the conversation, isn't he? If I had Cristiano Ronaldo, I'd captain Cristiano Ronaldo.
For God's sake.
Why would you not? Everton are so bad. Everton are so bad. Go on then, who are you going to captain?
I don't know. You're going to captain Kane, aren't you? Probably Kane. I mean, Saka or Kane it'll be, yeah. I think.
I think it's definitely looking like a Spurs or an Arsenal player, I would suggest. But anyway, that's my team. 1973 points, a rank change of minus 26. I'm hoping when all said and done, this game week gets put to bed, the five that I've got left to play are going to see me just about make par, I hope. I think I'll be head just about above water, and we'll go again next week with my two free transfers. How did your wild card go? Not very well. Talk us through it.
I mean, I'm beating you by a point, so I take it as a win.
Excellent.
That's a point game back. No, because I sold players like Son, Doherty, Eriksen.
Yeah.
Like, all the ones... I still think it was... I mean, clearly it was the wrong thing for this game week, but wild cards never really, for me anyway, they never work straight away. They always take a while to get in, which is why I wanted to do it now. I do think it set me up well, though. I've got the players that I think I should have.
Yeah, James, plus, Cancelo, Trent. I mean, that's looking all right.
Yeah, I mean, like this week, to have Trent and Reece James not play was difficult. Now, obviously, next week I've got Broya, who can't play against Chelsea because it's his parent club.
True.
So he'll go...
Oh, that's why he's on the flag.
Yeah, so he'll go third sub next week. I mean, I wouldn't have played him anyway, I don't think, against Chelsea, because the rest of them feel okay. The plan, and I left money in the bank so that I don't have to have Gordon any longer than this week. So Gordon was in for the double, and then my plan was to move him on to Ryan Fraser, was my plan for next week.
Ryan Fraser, okay, interesting.
Yeah,
shot.
And partly that was because, you know, Newcastle have what I think is probably one of the nicest doubles in game week 33. That's my bench boost week, so I want to be sure that I have as many double game weekers as possible. That's why Dubravka is my second goalkeeper at the moment.
Okay. I like Ryan Fraser. I hadn't considered Ryan. We didn't even talk about Newcastle. Oh, we did a bit.
Well, we
during
did at the
Spurs
beginning.
Bit at the top.
And I'm still, and so I used today to kind of watch Newcastle, and I'm still quite keen to invest more in Newcastle, even after, you know, the what happened today. But I feel like I've got a solid defensive unit. Tarkowski was in there because obviously he's got a couple of doubles coming up with the full intention that he could be sold then after game week 33, although they will have another double, but I don't think I want to keep on there. Same with Weghorst, can be sold at the end of these doubles and move to somebody either cheaper. I might go down to Cucho
Hernandez.
You're
telling me to bring Weghorst in earlier? You're getting rid of him, are you?
No, not now, because he's got double coming up.
Right.
I'm going to keep him till the end of the doubles. Right, and okay. Then at that point, he can be moved on.
It's got a nice fixture between now and the end of the season. You'll have Weghorst game week 38.
I will not have Weghorst.
Come on.
No.
He's
likely to double in 30, well, obviously 31 and 33, and I think Lego Manny was suggesting probably 35. So as soon as he's kicked a ball in 35, let's be honest, he's not going to get any goals between now and game week 35.
He'll score against Everton.
No chance.
Of course he will. I could score against Everton.
No, you couldn't.
They got no Michael Keane.
You couldn't.
Alan is still suspended.
You can't
he?
Score on a Monday night against your little cronies that you play with. You come home and I go,
cronies?
How'd you play? And you go, Oh,
I'm not very
when
good.
Was the last time you came home and said, yeah, I had a blinder? Maybe it'll be tomorrow.
Maybe it's tomorrow. I doubt it, Sam, but maybe it's tomorrow. Have you seen this North versus South FPL community?
Yeah,
notice
they've not asked you to play, but
I'm
that's
not playing
wise.
That. I've been all over the shot. I'm terrible. But anyway, go on then. So those are your transfers for next week, potentially. Don't know what that means. Potentially.
Probably, yeah. Gordon to Fraser, I think, will be on. And then I'll probably go Fraser to Ramsey.
Fraser?
If,
oh, I like it.
If Aston Villa do double in 34.
Very good. All right. Well, still plenty of football to play, folks, in this game week. We've got, obviously, the Arsenal game, and we've got Burnley versus Everton, which... To be honest with you, I'm interested from an FPL perspective because I've got my eye on Roberts and Gordon and Weghorst and a few others, right? But that is a six-pointer to die for now, that game, isn't it? The Toffees dare not lose that game. They dare not lose. Guys, if you fancy a bit more content from us, then patreon.com/FPL family is the way to go. All the links are in the description below if I can get my words out. You can come and join us at the Ohana tier, the Manager of the Month tier, or the Zoom tier. And you get progressively more FPL family content as you go through the different tiers. But feel free to check us out over there should you wish to have a little bit more of Sam and Lee in your life. Sam, talk us through what's going on this week in terms of FPL shows and podcasts and all that sort of stuff.
We're doing the show.
We are on the FPL show this week, aren't we? Yes, looking forward to that.
Together.
Together as well, which is a rare thing. It's a rare thing this week. And what about the official Fantasy Premier League podcast?
No, I just looked that up. I'm not sure who's on that this week. I think it's you the week after.
It's me the week after. Okay, yeah. Very good. Very good. All right, there we go. So that is the FPL family live stream in the bag for another week, folks. Well
this
done.
Is quite exciting.
Do you like this setup? Do you like this setup? Guys, get in the comments below. I'd love to hear your
it's
feedback
a bit
on the.
It's. I mean, I feel like that ball thing is a bit.
That's going to drive me insane if I
mean,
look
I'm
at that for longer.
Slightly, slightly sending me off to sleep.
Yeah, but this is the finishing page. This is just, you know, once you've drivelled on about Spurs for an hour.
I haven't.
We wake people up and then we get them to subscribe and then we say goodbye. That's how this thing works.
Nobody's subscribed because Sun's not appeared. Either that or you've broken it.
I've possibly broken that, yeah.
Because I was really enjoying just Sun randomly appearing every couple of minutes. It was nice to see him just pop up, but now that's not happened. So either you've broken it.
No
one subscribed.
I think it's a reasonable chance I've broken it. Yeah, it's a very reasonable chance I've broken it. Because look how technology advanced this is now. Look at this. We've got graphics. We've got things dynamically popping up. We're on Twitch, even though we're not.
We're not on Twitch.
It's incredible.
You're going to have to fix that before next week. You're
that.
Going on a stag do this week. You're not going to be able to fix it,
I'm definitely not fixing it this week. No. And actually, this time, next week, when we come and do a live stream at 8:30 on Sunday.
Are you
night,
actually
going to
make
week,
it? Because the last time you went on a stag do, we didn't even make it.
My flight gets back into the UK middle of the afternoon. So.
No, but then you've got to come home. You're going to rush home from the airport and watch Liverpool play Man City.
That is true.
And you'll be still drunk.
I doubt if I'll be still drunk, but I will be tired. And if Liverpool, whether we win or lose...
Taking
in that,
you 2 weeks to get over the last stag do.
Whether Liverpool win or lose in that game, I will be emotional. So next Sunday at 8:30, guys, expect a tired and emotional me to be on that stream. Could make for a good stream. Could make for a good stream. So, guys, look forward to seeing you next week at 8:30 in the usual time. Until Thursday, when we will see you on the official FPL show. Leave us a like before you go if you enjoyed the stream. If you're new around here, hit the subscribe button and we'll see you very, very soon. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.